If you just tuned in, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I am filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd here on Art Speak Radio while she is on assignment. And today we have a really great show. We have Ralph Tomlinson from Adult Services Libraries at the Olathe Public Library, as well as Emily Brown from the Public Relations Coordinator from Mid-Continent Library. We're going to get all the details about the event they have coming up. And then we have Crystal Highland and Lori Ray Erickson. They have an event coming up as well. So we're going to get all the details about them, but we're going to start with Ralph Tomlinson first. Welcome to Art Speak Radio, Ralph.
It's great to be back. How are you?
It's fine. How are you doing?
Good.
You were no stranger to KKFI. You've been a volunteer for KKFI for a number of years here and do quite a bit in the Kansas City music community as well.
So. Yeah.
But you've got an event coming up at the library, right?
Yeah, we've got a couple of events coming up that I came in to talk about. I'm actually the coordinator for Hispanic Heritage Month in the city of Olathe. We have about 20 organizations to come together and coordinate Hispanic Heritage Month. We've got lots of exciting things coming up for that. And then the library is doing a community-wide read of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up for that as well.
Oh, wow. So when are these events? Where and when are these events?
The Hispanic Heritage Month events start September 15th and run through October 15th. You can go to olathe.ks.org/Hispanic Heritage Month and find out about all the events. We have a kickoff coming up on the 15th with Angela Cervantes, who actually wrote the junior novelization of Coco, and she has a new book coming out.
Okay.
And
okay.
She's going to do a book signing from 2 to 4 at the Mill Creek Learning Center, which is right across the street from the downtown Olathe Library. So we have that coming up for Hispanic Heritage Month, and we have lots more exciting stuff for that whole month.
So you do a lot more than just, you work for the Olathe Libraries, right?
Right.
But you do a lot more than that. You've had, in addition to this, you've had a lot of things going on. You bring music on Tuesday nights, is that right?
Yeah, we have a jam session the first Tuesday of every month with Betsy Ellis, and usually her soulmate and duo mate, Clark Wyatt shows up for that. We also try to do one music show a month. That's usually on the third Tuesday, but sometimes we shift that around. So we have the concert and the jam session at the library.
So how did you get involved in doing this? I mean, I know you're working in library services, but how did you get the idea to come up with these additional activities?
The music, actually, I was at Folk Alliance and took a class in how to lead a jam session.
Okay.
With a guy named Dr. Banjo, who's actually with Hot Rise, the group Hot Rise.
Okay.
And I said, gee, this sounds like a great idea. I wonder if I could pull one off the library. So I started checking around and talking to folks, and eventually somebody connected me with Betsy Ellis, and she's been leading the jam session for 4 years now at the library.
You've been doing it for 4 years
yeah.
already? Wow. So
that is
quite an accomplishment. And you've had quite a number of really great artists at these events, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. As a matter of fact, they were just talking about Calvin Arsenio. We had him earlier this year at the library. We have people from all across the United States as well as local folks come out. And once I did the jam session, it was like, well, gee, we need more music. Just one night is not enough. So I decided to start doing another night of music.
Nice.
And the library is very supportive of it, too. We have lots of fun.
So in addition to that, so all these activities, you can look up online and find them, right?
Right. If it's a library activity, you can look at olathelibrary.org and then /events. And we have a calendar there, and you can look at everything going on at the library.
So, and when we talked about the jam sessions, they're on the Tuesday nights, is that
They're
right?
First Tuesday of every month.
And these, and you've got these other events coming up. You said the book signing and the Hispanic Heritage Month and the Olathe Public Library Olathe Reads. So what if, for listeners who are interested in attending, what would they expect to?
For Olathe Hispanic Heritage Month or for the?
For all of them. for each one of them.
Okay. Well, Olathe Reads, we're going to have a kickoff event at the library for Olathe Reads on Saturday the 15th and Sunday the 16th. We've got a lot of activities going on for that. We've got Dino Odell's going to do an outer space concert. We have Mad Science coming in on that Saturday the 15th. We have activities for families all day long. And then that night from 7 to 9 p.m., we have the Black Crack Review coming and playing for adults. They're a jazz band that's been around Kansas City for about 35 years. Yeah, and I talked to them the other day, and they're really excited. They actually have outfits ready for on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy theme, so that's going to be a crazy night. And then Sunday, Dino Adele's playing at our other library, at the Indian Creek Library, and we've got activities going on there all day. Then throughout the Olathe Reads runs from September 15th through October 31st. We've got stuff going on almost every week for that. You know, somehow related to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. We've got a Reader's Theater of that. We've got Space Jam movie in the park. We've got a moon viewing at the library. Okay. All sorts of things going on.
In this, the Olathe Library, where is this located at?
The Olathe Library, we have two libraries. We have one at close to the Johnson County Courthouse in what we like to call downtown Olathe, which is at 201 East Park Street. Right. And then we have a branch in a shopping center at the corner of 135th and Merlin, Indian Creek Library. And we're actually getting ready to open a new library in September of 2019.
Right. And where is that going to be located at?
It's actually going to be almost across the street from the library we have now at Merlin and Santa Fe. So it's an old Hy-Vee grocery store that the city purchased, and we're turning into a huge space.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Three libraries in Olathe.
Well, the Indian Creek one that we have now will close once get that new one open. It's just sort of a temporary location in a shopping center. So
how long have you been with the Olathe Library Service?
13 years I've been there.
So. What brought you there to do that?
I grew up in Kansas City, and I'd been bouncing around to other cities. I lived in D.C. for a while, lived in Indianapolis for a while, and I was working for I ended up working in Indianapolis or south of Indianapolis for a very small suburban paper, and something funny seemed to be going on in journalism, so I decided I better find another job, and I went back to school and became a librarian and moved back here to the Kansas City area where I grew up.
You're doing that quite well. Like we said, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Ralph Thomas, and we're getting all the details. He's got a lot of events coming up at the Olathe Public Library. Like you said, a book signing with Angela Cervantes. You have Hispanic Heritage Month. And you also have the Olathe Public Library, Olathe Reads. So all these events. And if you want to look them up online, you can look. And I'm sure there's that and a lot more going on as well.
There is. We're really excited. So also one of our keynote events that we do for Hispanic Heritage Month, we just started this last year. We do what's called a Copa Azul or Blue Cup. We have law enforcement officers and teenagers from Olathe High Schools join together on teams and play each other in soccer, which sort of builds a close relationship with them.
Sure.
And this year we've added, we're going to have an exhibition of lowrider cars and lowrider bikes that same day.
Okay.
So there's a group, the Hispanic leadership group at the Olathe Schools, that started building lowrider bikes.
Okay. So, that is pretty. You're really pulling it together. You're more than doing just library services.
Yeah. I sort of mush together sometimes, but and then we're really excited about the Olathe Reads. It'll be kicking off the same weekend, September 15th and 16th, and we'll have free copies of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for everybody who wants those as well.
That is pretty exciting. In addition to that, you've been doing this thing at the, like you said, you've been doing the music and all these events. You also have, I believe, a library of local and regional music up there.
We do. I try to collect CDs of local groups. I've probably got about 200 local CDs now. You can find those by going to our catalog and looking for local KC, and they should all pop up. You'll get a list of those that pop up. But we've got quite a collection of stuff there. You know, every time I see an artist, I beg them for a CD or order it online if I have to get it that way. We have a very small budget for local music, but I wish we had more money to spend on local music. But I've been collecting CDs for probably 4 years now, too. So we've got a really nice collection of local jazz and blues and everything else. So.
And if our listeners were interested, they can look online and find that catalog.
They can look online, and actually, if you you can probably request it through your own local library if you see something you like through interlibrary loan. We've got quite a collection of local stuff that you can access. Come out to love. I'd like to see you come out to the LA library and pick it up, but if you need to order it, that's fine too.
I get you. So, like we said, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Ross Tomlinson. We're getting all the details about what's going on at the Olathe Public Libraries. They've got several events coming up here in the month of September. And so if you want to look online, you can get all the information. Like we said, it was a book signing with Angela Cervantes, Hispanic Heritage Month, which is going to be going on quite a while. And then the Olathe Public Library, Olathe Reads. And is there a certain age group for these? Are you trying to attract in some of these activities?
It's all family events for the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, we do have some – the kids might not want to read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
We've got some picture books for the younger kids to read for that. So we've got stuff going on for kids plus the adults. And then the kickoff events on the 15th and 16th, the Saturday and Sunday, are going to be all ages. So everybody's welcome. And we have kids events all through the Olathe Reads for kids, and then we have adult and teen events as well. Wow. So it's all in our catalog. Just check it out.
Wow. So once again, I want to thank you for coming in and sharing that information with us, Ralph.
Sure. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you. We're in a different role. I'm behind the microphone for Art Speak Radio. Usually I'm doing my radio show. So, but is there anything else we want to tell our listeners before you go, before we transition to the next guest?
Just like I said, check out everything we've got going on at the library. The music once a month. We always have somebody great there. This month we have not only Black Crack Review coming on Saturday night, but next Tuesday we have Rupert Waits, who's a well-known singer. He's received 40 awards since he came to the United States in 2006. Okay. He's originally from the UK, so okay. Looking forward to that. We're going to have some classic music next month with somebody who plays violin for the KC Symphony. Sarah Morgan's coming in October, okay. And then in November we have Frank and Allie, who are members of the Freight Hoppers, are coming in from North Carolina.
Wow, you've got quite a calendar. You've got quite a lot going out in the Latham Public Library. So if that's something our listeners are interested in participating in and finding out more, they can look online and get all the details.
Yeah, for Olathe Library events, go to olathelibrary.org and / events, or just go to our website and click on events. For Olathe Hispanic Heritage Month, which I'm involved in, as well as 20 other organizations, we have olathaks.org and then / Hispanic Heritage Month, and everything's listed there.
Sounds good. Like, once again, I said thank you for coming in and sharing that information with us. And like we said, if you're interested, just look online. You can find out all those details, and you can attend one of the events, or you can just actually go to the library and participate and find out what's going on there yourself. So, like I said, once again, thank you for coming in. Next up, I got another guest. We've got the folks from the Mid-Continent Library. We're going to get the details about their upcoming event here in just a moment, so stay tuned. You just tuned in. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I'm filling in for Marie Vasquez Boyd here on Art Speak Radio while she is on assignment. So next up, I've got Troy and Mark from the Mid-Continent Library. They've got an event coming up Saturday, September 15th. Welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So tell us about this event coming up on the 15th.
The event coming up is called An Evening Beneath the Woods. It takes place at our Woodneath Library Center. The Library Center is kind of a unique space in that we have a historic home as part of the property that was part of that entire space project in the last, I guess, 5 years. And we're finally getting around to renovating that space. Okay. The home was built in, I think, 1854. Wow. It's basically, by all accounts, in that time period, it's a two-story mansion that has a lot of available space and a lot of great history associated with it. So the event that we have coming up is basically a public campaign to raise funds for that renovation. Okay. And then once that those funds are raised and that renovation is complete, Mark can speak a little bit more to the programming that will go on there. It's going to be called the Story Center, and a lot of great things will be going on there. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about the programming, Mark, and then we can come back and maybe talk a little bit more about the details of the event.
Sure.
So sure. As Troy mentioned, the Story Center has been around for about 5 years, the same amount of time that Woodneath Library Center has been around. And the Woodneath Library Center is actually connected to the historic home. So
I see
the renovation of the historic home is another piece in the Woodneath puzzle, and when that project is done, the Story Center will move its operations into the historic home. And the Story Center really is it's a mission enhancement program of Mid-Continent Public Library, and we really offer a set of unique services that help library customers, patrons, people tell their stories, share their stories, and connect with the stories of other people. So we have, for example, a certification program that we run in partnership with Metropolitan Community College that helps writers and oral storytellers develop their ideas and then bring those out into the public through a series of courses that we offer for free at the library. We have an espresso book machine that allows customers to come for a nominal fee, publish their books on site at Woodneath Library Center.
Interesting.
And we have another publication option called Woodneath Press, which is the imprint we run out of the Story Center. And then the third phase, the the third piece of that really is connecting with the stories of other people. And we have, for example, a Story Center speaker series that we run in partnership with Rainy Day Books. It's okay. Most of the programs, all of the programs are actually at Woodneath Library. And we've had Pulitzer Prize winners, National Book Award winners. Coming up on September 24th, William Kent Kruger, who is a very popular best-selling mystery writer, will be talking. And we see this as part of a way that people can connect with the stories of other people, but if there are writers in the program, they can actually have access right. to writers and ask them questions to help them develop their own craft.
This is pretty neat. So the event is Saturday, September 15th, right?
That's correct.
And it's from when to when?
It's from 6:30 to 9:30. And as I mentioned, you know, Mark's an employee of the library, whereas I'm a community volunteer. I actually live in the neighborhood. So, you know, seeing this renovation through is really important to a lot of us in the community. So the event this weekend is actually run by community members and not necessarily the staff itself. So we have a big stake in the success of this event. It runs from, like I said, 6:30 to 9:30. We're having entertainment from Quixotic, which I think you guys are very familiar with here. Dining, dinner, dancing, silent live auction, all that's being part of the total event. And you can find out more information about that by going to ahomeforyourstory.org, and all the details about the center, about the home, about the event can be found on that website.
And that's located, it's 8900 Northeast Flintlock, Kansas City, Missouri, is that right?
That's correct. So it's basically in the Northland. So unlike we're probably as far away from Olathe as you can get in the city. But if you're familiar with the intersection of Flintlock Road and Highway 152 or 152 Highway near Liberty, that's where we're located. So at the time that this home was active, it was basically in the middle of nowhere. But now the Liberty area and Kansas City has kind of grown out to it. So that's where we're located. At 8900 Flintlock Road.
And tell us about this home that you're trying to restore. How did that come to be?
The home is an incredible piece of property. Right now the library has 33 acres as well as the home. Originally the farm was about 250 acres. And as Troy said, it was built in the mid-1800s. And still, for as old as it is, I think it's in remarkably good shape. And the library acquired the home in 2008. And at that time, as he said, there was no Woodneath Library Center yet, but there was an idea of what the home would become, and there was a vision for what the library would become on this property, and the home would become a story center of some kind. When the house is completed, much of it will be public space. So we're imagining that the rooms will be used in different ways. There will be public programming space, for example, poetry readings. There will be ideal space for book clubs, and there will be an exhibit space for local artists to hang their work. And one of the most interesting spaces will be what we are thinking about as a studio, kind of a digital maker space for people who want to learn how to do digital storytelling, primarily podcasts, for example, or short films. And again, these are library services that we anticipate will be for free to library customers. So it'll just be a very unique addition to the MCPL system, the Mid-Continent Public Library system, as well as Woodneath, as meeting space. There will also be a conference room. So the really cool thing about the house is that it's got an incredible history of layers of stories on top of it, and now the library is adding its story to this. So in the present, looking toward the future.
And it's one thing to restore a house, but to restore a house and do it on this level is another step.
Yeah, it's a really big project, and, you know, the volunteers have been critical to the success of the project, and it's moving forward, and we anticipate and we're hoping that we'll be completed with the project next spring, fully open to the public.
Well, that's neat. So if you just tuned in, we're talking to the folks from Mid-Continent Library, Troy and Mark, and we're getting all the details about this upcoming event this Saturday night from 6:30 to 9:30. It's at 8900 Northeast Flintlock, Kansas City, Missouri. And it's a benefit, and you're also going to have performances from Quixotic, and you're going to have food and drinks as well as local chefs and silent and live auctions. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. And we've added a few other things recently. They're going to have some of the family members from the Crouch family, who actually was the last residents of that property, on site, and they're going to be able to tell stories about the property. There'll be tours of the property also. So as Mark said, the home is actually in remarkably good shape considering its age, so we're going to have it open to the public that night, or for those that are attending the event. And then there'll actually be a special VIP cocktail reception actually from 5:30 to 6:30, so we'll actually be celebrating within the home and being able to have that space for that little kind of pre-event before the big event starts at 6:30.
Yeah, I think, you know, people, by attending, they'll have a great understanding from talking with members of the family who had actually lived or had connection there with, like, the lived experience of the house, but they'll also be able to talk with MCPL staff about the future of the Story Center and how the house is going to be used, and kind of the vision of where it's headed. So it's a great opportunity.
And if our listeners wanted to look online, where would they go to find out some information about this?
Again, we have a dedicated website for the event, and as for the Story Center, it's called ahomeforyourstory.org. Mm-hmm. You can also get there by going to woodneath.org, so woodneath.org. Woodneath basically is the area, the neighborhood that has been built up around, and so that's what we kind of refer to it now as the Woodneath home. So if you're familiar with Woodneath Farms, it's a subdivision that's kind of adjacent to the property there. So that's where we also get the name An Evening Beneath the Woods, because Woodneath, they're kind of play on words there. So
I see. I guess
the term Woodneath was credited to one man who owned the home in the late 19th century for about three decades. And
I see.
He's the one who coined the term Woodneath, or Beneath the Woods.
I see. And if our listeners wanted to get involved in the Story Center and involved with some of these activities, where would they go to do that?
The best place to look is our website, mystorycenter.org. That connects up to the Mid-Continent Public Library system, and they can navigate through that, and they'll be able to see just the host of programs that we're running, not only the speaker series that we do with Rainy Day Books, but also the certification that we do with Metropolitan Community College. And the other thing that I should mention is that we also have a special collection, and I know Rob earlier was talking about local music. We have a collection of books for the Story Center that are special resources for writers and oral storytellers of all kinds. So they're how-to books, but we also have a selection of what we call Read Local. And these are books that are written by people in the greater Kansas City area. So we see part of our role is connecting those local voices with local audiences. And again, this is part of the special collection of the Story Center.
I see. In the Mid-Continent Library, which we were talking to Ralph, and he's part of Olathe, so Mid-Continent Library System, how big a region do you cover?
Mid-Continent Public Library has 31 branches.
Okay.
And a service area of about 800,000 people in Jackson, Platte, and Clay counties. And so the branches go all the way from Lone Jack up to Weston. It's a very large area in the greater Kansas City region. 31 different branches, and the Story Center is a mission enhancement program, and then we also have the Midwest Genealogy Center in Independence, which is very popular with people as one of our mission enhancement programs as well.
So I don't know if you can answer this. From the start of the idea to where you are now, how long has that been? Like 2 years, 5 years?
For the house?
The idea in the house is...
I would say at least 5 to 8 years.
Okay.
And the property was acquired in 2008, so that would be 10 years. And I think that it was acquired with the intention to do something like the Story Center. So at least 10 years.
I see. So if you just tuned in, we're talking to Mark and Troy. We're getting the details about this upcoming event this Saturday night at 8900 Northeast Flintlock. And it's a benefit gala starting at 6:30 to 9:30, and I think there's a VIP reception starting earlier at 5:30. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're interested, you can go online and find out all the details. And Or you can just go and attend this Saturday night.
So. That's correct. Yeah, we'll take walk-ins even.
So is there anything else you might want to inform our listeners about this event?
I just see it as part of it's a great event, and it really helps to reflect the library's commitment to stewardship,
right,
of not only stewardship but also access, and turning this very treasured resource that's on the National Register of Historic Places and that's been entrusted to us into a public space that's really going to be a place where people can tell their own stories.
Right. It's kind of, it seems like a big, it's would be a thrill to be a part of this, you know, be able to do this. So,
yeah, and for someone like me, it's in my backyard, so
really?
it's definitely something we want to see preserved and accessible, as Mark mentioned, and just it's just something that the whole community can take pride, right, take pride in, and it doesn't matter if you live in Liberty or the Northland area. It's something that the entire community and broader Kansas City can really take advantage of all the different things that we have to offer.
Well, it seems like a neat event, a neat idea, and we look forward to hearing about the success that you're going to have doing this. You know, and I imagine you're going to have a grand opening when you finally open the house and everything like
that, indeed.
Too. So, yeah.
Stay tuned for that.
So, yeah, keep us informed about that. We, you know, glad to have you back and glad to share your information with the public as well. So, once again, thank you for taking your time and giving us all the information about this upcoming event on the Saturday. And well, we wish you all the success.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And next up, we've got Crystal Highland and Lori Ray Erickson. First, we're going to play Take Two, and then we'll be back with them. Once again, we are back here with Art Speak Radio. My name is John Todd. I'm filling in for Maria Vasquez Boyd while she is on assignment. And we're getting all the details about upcoming events here in the community. And next up, we have Crystal Highland and we have Lori Ray Erickson. Welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's nice to have you. So you've got some events coming up. Why don't you fill us in about that?
So we represent regional artists that we admire, who are also just wonderful people to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
The gallery is called Veritable Art. We're located on the third floor above the Lidi Volkos Art Center.
Mm-hmm.
So we're right on the beaten path for the First Friday events.
Sure.
But the unique thing that we offer is that it's also our home. So our mission is to sort of show artwork being lived with and present artwork in different light.
So, and that's located, I think it's 2010 Baltimore, is that right?
Yeah, you can enter on we're open on First Fridays, and then we have special events, mm-hmm, as well that we invite our patrons to. But on First Friday, you can enter through the Lidi Volkos. You can enter through the side door, we call it the blue door or the gray door. It's all sort of interconnected, but we have plenty of signs, so
see. And you said this
lost.
Is your also your living space, is that right?
Yes.
How did that come to be?
Well, so I have lived in the building for I think almost 10 years now, maybe 7. I don't know, time is not
sure.
Sort of linear for me, but I originally lived there and had my studio there. Lori's studio was in the Hobbs, and through a series of events, I started hosting salons, mm-hmm, quarterly to benefit artist friends who were in need. And it just sort of evolved from there. Eventually, both of our studios moved out of their spaces, and we decided, well, we're already doing this, we might as well just really do it full time and go for it. So we've I think we've been consistently showing for the last year.
Yeah.
And prior to that, we were both curating shows. So
we built walls and dedicated a specific area in the place for artwork. So when you come in, it feels like a gallery.
Awesome.
And then you experience that it actually is a living space too. So it's kind of a unique experience for
patrons. I always bake fresh bread.
Okay.
Yeah. And share my wine club shipment. And yeah, so the next phase we're super excited about, a photographer friend of ours, Hillary Buford, is working with us to photograph the space, and then we'll start photographing in other spaces as well that we manage and work in. So so online is the mission, and it's just been kind of a slow natural evolution to this final push into our eventual sort of manifestation of what we're doing.
So you've been doing art in Kansas City for a while. Are you a Kansas City native?
I moved around a lot, but I wound up back here 10 years ago, and I went to high school for a couple of years here and vowed never to return, and then life happened, and I am, and I'm very, very happy. It was an extremely opportune time for me to land here and sort of re-find myself artistically. Right.
So it's a good place.
If our listeners were to attend, what would they be able to expect when they...
Well, especially the smell of the fresh bread first.
Aside from that, it's kind of
overwhelming, actually. But there's we have 12 different artists showing right now. We have Marcy Elward, who does oil paintings, landscapes, and objects, and John Davis Carroll, who also does oil paintings, beautiful landscapes, and... skies, clouds, myself, you'll find Laurie Ray Erickson prints, assemblage, paintings, and sculpture. We also have John Ferry, who does wonderful hyper-realistic oil paintings of everyday objects. Sarah Gibson, who makes handmade arrows out of natural objects and stones. Crystal Hyland's work is focused on natural materials. She does sculpture and beeswax and natural materials on silk. Marcy Lally, who's a wonderful sculptor. She does work with skulls and porcelain. And then we have Bill Ruby, who does candle holders and lamps made out of reclaimed plumbing materials. And then we have Emily Saul, who does abstract painting. Douglas Schwedert, who is one of our close friends who passed away a few years ago, and we still represent his work, paintings, sculpture, and assemblage. Christian Sims, who does some really fun stuff. Right now you can find his shirts there that have cassette tapes, boom boxes, and turntables on them. And then we have David Stein, who does sculptures, very intricate sculptures with exotic woods.
And that's, and you said it's at 2010 Baltimore, and you say you're open for First Fridays, but you're kind of open all the time, is that right?
Yeah, you
by appointment. Yeah, you can send us an email anytime at veritableartkc@gmail.com,
and we can accommodate happy anytime. To have someone over to visit. Yeah.
So how do you pull together, how do you get these artists, how do you pull them together and get them to
friends, friendships, also we try to attend things and we run into people and it's mostly through acquaintances. Well,
so Lori has a long and storied and solid presence in the Kansas City arts community.
I was at the Hobbs for 18 years, so we did a biannual open studio, so we were open to the public. About usually, typically, 25 artists open up their studios. So I ran those for as long as I was there, and so I've met a lot of people through the years, and I also collect artwork as well, so try to keep in touch with community and local artists. And
I see. So how did you get involved in the art here in Kansas City?
Oh, I moved here from Iowa to go to the Art Institute, and then ended up working at Hallmark for several years, and then just decided to do things on my own.
So taking that step from working like a Hallmark and professional to going independent, what was that like?
Oh, I think it's a refreshing feeling to do that. But, you know, we also do a lot of other things to keep, you know, the paycheck coming in. But it's I really enjoy doing artwork on my own and not really working for a corporation.
See, and you, Crystal, what's your take on that?
The corporate versus
being independent artist.
I think that it's hard. I mean, Lori makes it look and seem very easy, but my background is in theater and film. I worked as a costumer and a wig master and worked very hard for a long time for other people, and started designing clothing when I came to Kansas City and then transitioned into the fine art world. So I had a lot of business acumen that I'd sort of developed over the years, and even still it is intensely competitive as the scene sort of has developed. Just from my perspective over the last 10 years, it's become really incredibly high quality, but very intensely competitive at the same time. And I think that that's sort of the challenge for visual artists in particular, who I feel like visual artists sort of always lay the groundwork for a scene as it evolves. And then sometimes we get sort of overtaken, but this art open spaces thing that's happening right now is phenomenal and really sort of putting Kansas City on the map in a new, very inclusive way amongst all visual art forms, whether it's installation or video or
music
or sculpture. It's really, really cool what they're doing. So we'll see how it evolves. I mean, our mission is kind of to stay outside of that competitiveness and just support the artists and do our best to represent them well and bring the art outside of Kansas City, because just on our block there's 5 galleries. It's competitive, and I don't really care to enter into that competition. I just want to bring it to a new space. And
I have friends that do art, and it's one thing they say, you know, we do art, they make great artwork, whether it's pottery or anything, but the other side of putting together events and organizing, even selling your product, that's another challenge.
It is a lot of work to get it all ready. You know, most people don't know what it's like behind the scenes, but it's a lot of work to get it to a place where you feel, you know, proud and comfortable enough to open it up to let people come in and see.
That's a big step. And if I heard correct, you do artwork with beeswax, is that right?
Yeah, I've been really interested in sort of elevating natural materials for a while, and my last show was on silk. And then I've been experimenting with beeswax figure studies for quite a while now. And I love the smell of it. I love the look of it. Sometimes I scent the wax before I pour. I mean, I think it's
local wax. You probably...
You know what? I'm ashamed to say it's not, because I buy the small... They're almost like beads because it melts quickly and evenly. So I get a nice even color, because it has a really low flash point.
Right, I see.
The reason I should. Yes. I really should.
I had a friend years ago that owned Santa Fe Trails Honey Farms. And so he used to take samples and stuff, and he used to bring me beeswax.
I was
familiar with it. But as a medium, how do you use it as a medium? You know, is there a certain temperature it melts at, and how do you work with it?
Crockpot.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
If our listeners wanted to go online and find any of your work, where could they go to look at that?
My website is crystalhighland.com, and Lori's website.
I believe it's still LoriRay307.com.
But you can always see her work at our space.
Yes.
It's I I wanted to go back to the conversation about sort of leaving the sort of corporate image-driven landscape. I think that's another challenge that every artist faces. And I'm thinking specifically about John Ferry. He's so well known for his really interesting use of color in these urban landscapes from sort of, what is the word? Sort of disorienting vantage points. And he's been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
And he just recently started this new series of work that will blow you away when you see it.
It's beautiful.
One of the pieces we have is just painting of his oils and the oils that he uses to paint with. And he was like really excited to have someone interested in what he was doing, because it's just, you kind of can get in a rut and you become your own sort of corporate almost critic, where you're creating something that's predictable.
Right.
And the other one is a urinal.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
It's
super cool.
Nice. It's very nice.
So you just, I think you have to be in a space where you are open to change. Right. And that is really scary for artists.
I had a friend back, and she was a little bit older, but she went to college, and she worked at Hallmark, and she went, you know, as an art career, and she got a job at Hallmark, but she was making wrapping paper, you know, and it paid the bills, and it was a career, but I don't think that was exactly what she was expecting.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
so.
Not self-fulfilling,
right,
probably.
So.
Although we have lots of friends who are very happy working at Hallmark.
Right.
Yes.
It provides an income, but it wasn't what she was expecting.
No, it's a great place to work, you know. There's a lot of really great artists that still work there.
And it's quite well established here in the Kansas City community.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a couple of spots, and then we'll be back to you real quick. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
You just tuned in. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. My name is John Todd. I am filling in here for Maria Vasquez-Boyd here on Art Speak Radio while she is on assignment. So we're talking to Crystal Hyland and Lori Ray Erickson. We're getting all the details about some upcoming events in their space down at 2010 Baltimore and the art showings and the art gallery that they have down there. So you want to fill our listeners in? Give us some more details about that.
So our next opening is First Friday, October 5th. We'll keep our fall group show up for 2 months, so people who didn't want to brave the stormy weather.
Right.
Last week are welcome to
from 6 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, 6 to 9 p.m. And again, just a really incredible, well established group of artists that we're representing in this space right now.
I've noticed when First Fridays they don't do it on just that one Friday. They kind of carry it on for a couple 3 months, so more people can get
There's
a chance.
There's so much to see in Kansas City right now during that time on First Fridays. So it's nice to have it up for 2 months, so that people do have an opportunity to see. But then you can also contact us through our Gmail account at veritableartkc if you want to see it before then, or even after that first Friday in October.
I see. What if I walk in there and I see something on the wall? I say, I got to have that for my living room. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. That's our entire mission.
Have you had much success with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough sometimes, but we've had a few sales, which has been
more than a few. It's just not predictable.
Right. Sure.
Like it's very unpredictable.
When the economy was terrible, all of us artists could say, oh, it's the economy.
Right, sure.
But I'm not sure what it is sometimes, because the economy is great and not everyone's investing in art. So it's a process, developing your group of collectors. And I think that, that's a big part of why we're super excited to move to the next phase and get our website up and running and really showcase the artwork in the manner that we feel like people can enjoy it and the artists you know, really deserve.
I see. So this is down at 2010 Baltimore, and it's Suite 303, and it's actually your living space as well.
Yes.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, above Lady Volkel's gallery.
And so that's a pretty neat concept that you came up with that. So, and you have, like you said, you're open on first Fridays, but you're open all the time. So if people want to come down for an appointment and stuff like that.
Yeah, if they just make an appointment, we can show them what we have in there,
And who all again is going to be there? You got quite a list of people.
We have 12 different artists. Marcy Aylward, John Davis Carroll, myself, and Crystal, John Ferry, Sarah Gibson, Marcy Lally, Bill Ruby, Emily Saul, Douglas Schwedert, Christian Sims, and David Stein.
And it's a really nice variety of painting, sculpture, assemblage. It's a stunning show.
Yeah, it's great. And people come in there and they feel really comfortable.
And I guess you have any baked bread as well?
Yes.
We've had people come and that haven't seen each other in a while just sit in our living room for an entire evening, and we have no idea who they are, and it's wonderful. It's really, really fun.
It's a good time.
Do you have any specialty breads you're making, anything like that?
No, I have a recipe that I just kind of is my go-to. I have a bread machine. It's nothing.
Okay, it's nothing
super laborious. It's really
tasty
to create another sensory positive attachment to this.
That is pretty neat, though, to do that.
It's a gimmick. We're gonna go with it.
And in wine as well, is that what I asked?
Oh, yeah,
there is wine available.
How can you say no to bread and wine?
That's right. So, well, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Crystal Hyland and Lori Ray Erickson. We're getting the details about their upcoming event. And if our listeners aren't familiar with First Fridays, it's the first Friday of every month down at the Crossroads. And from about when to when, about 5?
Usually about 6 to 9 is...
That's when our doors are open.
Yeah, that's the typical time. But sometimes people open around 5.
Okay.
You'll see people milling about. Sometimes even as early as 4.
Uh-huh. Right. And that's 2010 Baltimore, but it's Suite 303, so you're on the third floor, is that right?
Just right above the Lady Volkos Art Center.
I see.
And they have a gorgeous show in there right now.
So
they really do.
So if that's something that you're looking to do on a first Friday, that's certainly an option. So,
come on up and see us.
So is there anything else you want to tell our listeners before we go?
I think we've more than covered it. You've done a great job. Thanks for filling in for Maria.
I'm filling in with one arm. So, but once again, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to share this information with us. And I'm sure if you have anything else coming up, Maria, we'll be glad to have you back.
Thank you so much.
So good luck with your showing, and hopefully we'll be able to catch you.
We appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, hope so.